Coming up, I'm going to help you recession-proof your job, and then I'll reveal three reasons why people regret quitting their job. And pay increases seem to be on the way, and I'm going to coach you up. Let's go. I am coaching you to make more money and make a bigger impact in your work, helping Mondays, not be so miserable. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. Welcome. So how do you recession-proof your job? Well, let's first, before we dive into this, I'd like to just come right out and say, it's not a guarantee, it is not a foregone conclusion that we are headed into a recession. And by the way, recessions can be ho-hum. They really can. Recessions could be really, really bad. But we just assume when we hear the word recession that the sky is falling and that things are awful. And so we got to be very careful to have some common sense, pay attention to the signs that are actually affecting you, not just headlines. Got to be careful. So in helping you be careful, how do you build yourself, and I mean this, build yourself up to a point where professionally and financially, you are recession-proof? I'm going to break this down for you. Let's talk about yourself. We'll talk about the professional side and then touch a little bit on the financial side. On the professional side, how do you build yourself up to where you're recession-proof? Well, simply put, you make yourself so valuable that if one company has to lay you off because of financial issues, you are so attractive, so wildly valuable that you have no problem getting placed somewhere else. And the area where you can most distinguish yourself, set yourself apart, is in the area of soft skills. A recent article by CNBC said that 93% of employers now want to see soft skills highlighted on your resume. Soft skills play a critical role in the decision about whom they want to hire. This is from Ian Siegel, co-founder and CEO of ZipRecruiter, our good friends. This is from their report, The Job Market Outlook for Grads. So ZipRecruiter compiled some of the most in-demand soft skills that they're seeing on resumes in their platform. Okay, so I'm going to list these out. Again, this is a nice list for you to be thinking, all right, how would I put these skills and highlight these skills on my resume? And then also ask yourself, where do you stand on these soft skills? As you hear the list, ask yourself, am I a 0? Am I a 5? Am I an 8, 9, or 10? So here we go. Communication skills. This is the number one skill, a soft skill, in other words, a people skill, that ZipRecruiter is seeing on their website. And can I just say here on communication skills, some people hear communication skills and you automatically think, oh, I'm not a good speaker, or that means that I am a good speaker, a public speaker. And I will tell you that that is incorrect, that if you were to make it exclusively about your ability to speak publicly. Because I know some really good speakers, people that are fantastic public communicators that are horrible private communicators. Horrible. So one-to-one is more important than the ability to speak one-to-many. So what are communication skills? I got to tell you, having a great vocabulary and to be able to use words does not make you a great communicator. The ability to listen to people well and the ability to read people well, that makes you a good communicator. Because you could have horrible horrible grammar skills, all right? So I'm from the South, and I'll make fun of rednecks because I can make fun of rednecks. But you could take a good old boy redneck, right, who talks like this, and you got bad grammar or whatever, and a guy could be a great communicator. Not because of how he says his words or what his words are, but then his ability to connect. Because communication is a form of connecting. I got an idea and I want you to receive the idea. So the ability to listen to people and the ability to read people and then just plain spoken, get your point across, makes you a good communicator. Number two is customer service, the ability to just take care of people. Interestingly enough, communication and customer service, top two people skills. And I got to tell you, this is a great illustration. If you're good at customer service, I got good news for you. You are really good at communication. Because customer service is the ability to, as I said just a moment ago, listen and read people. Clearly listen, focus on them, but also read their body language, their face, everything else. Another soft skill, which I wouldn't call this a soft skill if it were left up to me, but I get the point. It's scheduling. You know, the ability to be organized and schedule things and move a lot of things. Coordination may be the word here. Time management skills is next. Project management. And again, you know, if you look at project management, even though it is heavy on details and organization, it's also very heavy with communication. Great project managers are great communicators, because think about it. A project manager, if you were to take the spoke of a tire or wheel, the project manager is usually right in the center, and they are, as the spokes on a bicycle wheel go, they are connecting to multiple different people, many times multiple different objectives, many times maybe different departments within a company. So you see that happening. Analytical thinking is next. The ability to analyze, to critically think, and many times be curious. Next, the ability to work independently. This is a big deal. Self-starters. You can get going. You can get up and get yourself going. You're not a herd member, right? You can be active without the pack. And then finally, flexibility. I use the word adaptability here. I think adaptability makes a person flexible. You could interchange these words. It's a wildly important soft skill. And you know what flexibility is really about? Flexibility is about attitude. You know what? This stinks. Didn't see this thing coming. Didn't expect this change. But you know what? I'm going to make the best of it. The old phrase is taking life's lemons that are sour and not really desirable to eat in and of themselves, but to turn it into lemonade. And that's the idea. It is an attitude of, you know what? I'm going to adjust. Now, those are some professional skills to recession-proof your career. How about recession-proofing your life? Well, again, at Ramsey Solutions, we've been teaching people sound money habits to get out of debt, to live on less than you make, to save up money for a rainy day because it is going to rain. And so, you know, when it comes to a recession, no matter what happens, if you've got an emergency fund built up, if you are prepared, you know what your marketplace value is, evaluate what you make, what you could make, so you know what you can get. Make sure your resume is always ready to go or ready to be updated. And then always be not just financially storing up, but how about relationally? How about connections? You should have a storehouse full of connections because you're always making them. And if you do that, no recession will ever throw you out of sorts to the point that you can't function. You have recession-proofed your life and your work. Welcome back, folks. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where I coach you to make more money and more impact in your professional life. And watch what happens. Your personal life improves as a result. And so if you're stuck right now and work sucks and you're taking that stuff home with you, you are in the right place. And I'm going to tell you something else. If life is personally a dumpster fire, you're going to drag that to work with you. And so to connect these two, and to connect where you're winning at work and in life, it is massively important. I'm here to help you do that. Our good friends at ZipRecruiter can help you actually take care of the work side of things. You ever had that moment, though, when you discover something new and it's like new to you. It may not be new to anybody else, but it's new to you and it changes your entire outlook. Maybe it's a new hobby or a new city or a new restaurant, a new show, a new app. Who knows? Well, this can happen in your work. Maybe there is an actually great job. I've been talking about this, and maybe, you know what, Ken, you're right. I think there is a dream job for me. Well, ZipRecruiter can help you find it. ZipRecruiter is a personal recruiter pitching your profile to employers and sending you jobs that match your skills and your desire. With ZipRecruiter, that awesome job could be right around the corner. It is free for you. Never cost you a nickel, folks. I'm not selling you anything except opportunity. Check them out today at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. All right, time to get to a couple stories in the news. This is from Business Insider. Joblist did a June survey. Their second quarter of 2022 report. And what did they find? A bunch of regret of workers who over the last, let's call it year and a half to 2 years, quit their job because they saw the gold rush. Hey, everybody else is leaving. I can get paid 20% more if I leave. And they were like, yeah, I'm in. And they bought whatever they were being sold. They ate whatever the companies told them to eat. You know, I remember when I have three kids. And Alex, I remember, you know, back in the baby food days, you know, it was whatever jar I got out, baby. I didn't care if it was peas or carrots or squash. Like, I'm picking out a jar and I'm getting out the baby spoon. Hey, open up, right? And I just fed them. Yeah, here you go, airplane. And what did our kids do? They're like little baby birds. Yeah, you know, they ate it. And that's what companies did to a lot of people. Like, hey, we'll pay you this. And they're like, okay, I like the sound of that. What about the work itself? Well, you know, it's going to be this and that and blah, 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 blah. Uh-oh. What happened? Yes, the paycheck most of the time was bigger. But 26% of job seekers who quit their previous job regret the decision. Wait a second, Ken. You're telling me they got more money, but they regret taking that job? Yes, I told you so. I told you so. Paychecks wear off. You know what doesn't wear off? A lack of meaning in the workplace. A bigger paycheck wears off. You know what doesn't wear off? A toxic culture. Paycheck, the high of the bigger paycheck wears off. Tell you what doesn't wear off. A jerk boss. A horrible boss. Doesn't wear off. In fact, not only does it not wear off, it wears you down. That's the truth. So, the numbers keep going. Harris poll did a survey as well. Found that 20% of people who quit their jobs regretted it. The level of quits in the U.S., just to remind you folks, has been over 4 million people a month for almost a year. And job openings have been over 11 million for six straight months. So what that means is there are still, this is unbelievable, folks. We're at 3.6% unemployment rate right now. A lot of open jobs. And as a result, people are sitting around going, hey, I can get another opportunity. And I'm going to. So they leave. And then they get there and they go, oh, wait a second. This isn't what I thought. 17% said their new job is not what they hoped for. They thought it was going to be this, and it turned out to be that. 16% said their old job was better than they realized. Oh, yeah, you know, blah, 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 about my current job. Then I go somewhere else. I got a bigger paycheck, and I now I'm going, wait a second. That place wasn't that bad. I shouldn't have been griping. Interesting. Almost a third of those in the Harris poll said the job was basically not what they expected. So now that comes down to two things. Either you or those people did not ask the right questions in the interview process and you just assumed it was going to be this way and it wasn't. Or, and this happens too, companies basically told you what you wanted to hear. That's a really nice way of saying they lied. It happens. 22% of the jobless survey said people said they the people that they had worked with in the old company was why they had regret. How about that, Alex? That's relationship focused. I miss my old pals. And then some data from Monster on the same theme of regret showed that 61% said they would actually think about heading back to a previous employer. They're calling these boomerang employees now, calling these people. 61% said, I'd go back. Pretty fascinating. So the issue is, in our current hiring market where there are a bunch of open positions, the interesting thing to see for these people will be how many of your old companies will take you back. And this brings up a point that I talk about all the time. You may not be in the greatest of situations. You may have a bad leader. Didn't say a bad person leading you, just a bad leader. And if you don't leave well, guess what you've done? You've blown up the bridge. And sometimes in life, one of the most mature, strategic decisions we can make is to realize, I left where I was, where I should be, and I realize I got to go back. You know, we romanticize in books and motivational speeches and in movies this idea of burning the ships, and I think there are times in life where you got to burn the ships, meaning we're here to stay and we're all in. But I would also say that it is equally honorable and sometimes brilliant to realize, I left and I need to go back. A story that sticks out to me is from the world of sports. Several years ago, Billy Donovan, who was the two-time national champion coach of the Florida Gators, the Orlando Magic came after him, and he had spurred NBA jobs for a while, and they came after him, and this time he said yes. I'll never forget it. And I'm a big basketball fan, and I'm a big sports junkie, so I remember all this stuff, but this is a really interesting example. And so Billy Donovan says yes. He literally goes to Orlando, does the press conference, takes the job, says, hey, I'm thrilled to be the head coach of the Orlando Magic and excited about this chapter of my life. And like a day or two later, he wakes up and he realizes, I don't want to be coach of the Orlando Magic. I want to go back to Florida and be coach of the Gators. And so he has enough guts and character to say that to the Orlando Magic. Now, of course, they're not happy with him. And Florida were thrilled to take him back, and he did. But I'm going to tell you, almost 95% of the sports media crushed the guy. And I wanted to go on sports media and go, you are a bunch of freaking idiots. This is character. This is actual maturity. Of course he was tempted to take the NBA job. Who wouldn't be? But he also had enough character to go, you know what? I made the wrong decision. Emotionally, I decided this, but I got enough guts and character to say, I'm going to go back. That's my point. Sometimes you got to go back. The sports media, these bunch of meatheads, they don't know character. If it came up, slapped them in the face. And so Billy Donovan was some bad guy for basically going, I made the wrong choice. I'm going to go back to where I was. Now, I would hope that companies that are healthy enough, they have healthy leaders, will receive some of these people back to go, hey, I get it. Who among us is not going to be attracted by a pay raise? And listen, we want you back. We'll take you back. I got no problem with that. So there you go. Come a little bit later, we'll talk about big pay raises coming your way and a few other things. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Folks, I'm very excited about a new initiative coming out of Ramsey Solutions. I'm teaming up with our Ramsey Education Department, and we've launched Ramsey Career Academy. Now, if you've listened or watched this show for any amount of time, you know what I think about college education. It is primarily overrated and becoming increasingly irrelevant. And I have a two-part question for all parents and anybody, maybe a student, a potential student, or somebody who's midlife and they're going, all right, I don't want to change careers. And these two questions will make sure that you make the right decision on a degree. Here we go. The first one is a degree, whether it be a four-year degree or a grad degree, Is it the only way to get qualified to get where you want to go? Now, listen, folks, we suck at listening, we humans. I said, is it the only way? Like there's, so for instance, right now, a doctor. You cannot be a doctor unless you have a med school degree. All right, so we understand that. The second question is, after we've answered the first one, is it the best way of all of my, so we know it's not the only way. So now, is a degree the best way to get qualified? And you can't go with conventional theory because the American people have been told for 50 years that a college degree is the best way to be success. And that's a big bunch of steaming, hot horse crap. That's just it. You can't tell me in 2022 that a college degree is the best way to success. It's just garbage. Nobody believes that with any brains. So there you go. So to that end, Ramsey Solutions, we're getting in the education game, meaning we are going to actually teach you the knowledge you need to get in and move up. It's called Ramsey Career Academy, and we've got a Career Boost certification this fall. It's a 10-week certification that'll help you gain essential skills you need to win at work, like the soft skills I talked about today. And I've highlighted 8 soft skills that I'm going to be teaching in this course. And these are people skills. If you get these skills, you can go from a zero to hero. I don't care how bad you are in these areas, you can get there. So, alongside several other of our Ramsey folks, experts, and leaders, you're going to get people skills, project management, goal setting, communication, self-awareness, digital marketing, and sales skills. Spots are limited. Go to RamseySolutions.com/boost. RamseySolutions.com/boost. And here's a quick little thing on people skills. If you are a zero in a certain people skill or soft skill, you could be a 10. But you can't do that in any other technical talent or physical talent. Okay? I'm vertically challenged in two ways. First of all, I'm 5'9", and secondly, I can't jump. But I love basketball. So when I was a kid, I talked my dad into buying these ridiculous shoes that were supposed to help you vertical leap. It was basically like a platform thing on the toe. And so it was like a heel. You see women with these 5-inch heels. So picture that on the toe of a tennis shoe, and there's nothing on the heel. So as a kid, I'm walking around on my tiptoes all the time. Yeah, I can't jump. Still can't jump. Why? I don't have the fast twitch muscles. I don't have a God-given ability to leap. So we have a lot of delusional people in this world that are trying to get good at something that they got no talent in. But as it relates to people skills, we can go from 0 to 10, and that's why it's so valuable. So there you go. All right, I'm going to get to Karen, who's on the phone, but I wanted to point this out. CNN ran an article that I want to share. Biggest pay raises in 15 years are on tap for 2023. So all of the experts, economists, data from hiring managers, small business owners, they're planning to give people raises. For years, the average raise in America has been about 3%. And now they're expected to be 4.1%. And that doesn't include bigger hikes for maybe hourly workers. Kids are coming right out of college and people just looking for talent. They're going to get more than they normally would get. And so stop freaking out about inflation. You're going to have a chance to make more money. And if you're smart and you save your money, live on less than you make, you're going to be fine. All right, let's go to Karen in Chicago, Illinois. Karen, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
So I've been listening to you for a while, and I appreciate your time and all the information you can provide to us. I'm a 51-year-old. My background is a registered nurse. About 13 years ago, I transitioned from working in the hospital setting to the pharmaceutical industry. Currently, I use my medical knowledge and experience managing study startup processes and monitoring coding and coding data from clinical sites. I have a fantastic and supportive coworkers. I have a remote position. I really do enjoy it, but I don't particularly enjoy the work, and I'm feeling very empty and without purpose. Mm-hmm. At my age and being almost an empty nester, you know, how do I even, I've been in a mode of just looking for, you know, just trying to make it through and raising three yeah. children. And now I'm kind of looking at a different horizon going, at my age, how do I even know what to look for to be passionate about?
Yeah. Well, let's look to the past for a moment.
Okay.
So I found it interesting that you were a nurse and then now you've transitioned into doing pharmaceutical work. And based on the way you described, there was a lot of fancy big words in there. But my takeaway was, is that you're doing a bunch of analysis and crunching of data and there's hardly any human involvement. And I'm just wondering, when you were a nurse back in the day, what did you love most about it?
I did enjoy the human contact in taking care of patients, but I've got a couple of medical disabilities that prevent me from being in that job.
I understand. I'm not trying to take you back, but I'm saying, what do we know to be true? And what you loved about being a nurse, if I could be so bold as to say, you loved caretaking.
Correct.
Okay, then. So now at 51, we know you loved it. We know you love that part of it. So how can you care for people in a way that your physical challenges would allow? I think that's probably the homework assignment that I most want you to take on.
Okay.
Because I'm not trying to put you on the spot where you just pop a job title up on the air live, but I think that's the homework assignment to go, wait a second, I love caring for people, but I have some physical challenges and limitations that would not allow me to be on my feet X amount of hours or whatever was involved there. But the point is that I could make the case that a counselor or a coach or a teacher, or there are a lot of people that can provide care for people with their emotions that don't require physical touch or physical demands. Okay. Do you see that?
Yes.
And I wonder if you can pop an answer. Just I want the top of, off the top of your head just for fun. Let's just assume that I can get you a job.
Okay.
And you don't have to worry about the money. The money's going to be what you want. It's going to be a really great environment, great culture, coworkers, leader, the whole nine yards. Okay. And I want you to think of just a form, really loose, of caring for people. I want you to just forget about the job and the job title, where you're doing. I want you to tell me, who are the people you would love to most take care of in the next season of your life? Say it. You're already formulating thoughts.
Who do I want to care for?
Yeah, think about it.
I don't know that it's, I'm trying to think if it's care for, but I do enjoy educating and teaching.
That's fine. Say it. Who are the people, or what's the problem that you want to attack in some form or fashion?
I want to help people, I guess, find their passion. Like I enjoy the arts and wish I'd pursued it when I was younger, but didn't.
What do you mean by the arts?
I like to draw and I like to paint and I like to do, you know, classes. I like to, I participate in them. I don't teach them, but I think one day I wouldn't mind teaching that.
How much money do you need to bring that out? How much money do you need to make in this next season?
You know, so my husband and I have been following the Dave Ramsey. We're almost debt free. We'll be debt free in October, except for our mortgage.
Wow.
Yeah, so I really don't need the job, except that we want to play catch up with our retirement.
Okay, so here's the deal.
So
while you're playing
catch up, I really
don't
need the job, but I need the job.
Okay, so while you're playing catch up,
okay,
maybe you stay in the job you're in because it's what, two more years of that?
Mm-hmm.
Three?
Yep.
What do you and your husband say? You know what? Can I do this for another 2 or 3 years? And by the way, you can change. I mean, you could go back into maybe some type of nursing where you're not on your feet all the time and maybe you're just caring for people and checking them in. I got to tell you, I had surgery about a year ago and I remember paying attention because of what I do. I was like, how many different types of nurses will I encounter today? And you know, I had three different nurses that I can recall. One was the nurse who checked me in and got me ready with all the forms and all the things and made sure I was prepared for what was going on. Then I had a nurse that took me into the operating room. Then I had a nurse in the recovery room. And I just wonder, what are the nursing roles that aren't as physically as taxing? Maybe that'll bring your heart back while you're starting this art business or art instructing on the side. That's what I think you ought to do. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. Ever wondered how to win in business and leadership? I'm George Camel, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast, where you'll hear exceptional advice, origin stories, and practical strategies for success. These weekly conversations with America's brightest business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs will help you succeed in all areas of business and leadership. Listen to the Entree Leadership Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.